Pro Wrestling Super Show number 60, 2015 awards results and wrestling talk. Super Show.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, I'm your host, co-host Stephen Graham, with the best co-host in the business, Tim Livingston. How are you?
I'm good. I so happen to have the best co-host in the business too. So this is wow. All good. So
where's our Sheedy Award?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. It's great though. Like the Sheedies. You know, I'm all for the Sheedies. I think it's really cool that they decided to kind of do an award show like that, and with the Place to Be Nation Network was represented well. And it's always fun to be on here with you too, Steven.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and Chris Zellner, well deserved.
Without a doubt.
They're must listens, every one of his shows, that's for sure. But we're not Chris Zellner, so we'll try to do our best.
Yeah. I can only aspire to be Chris Zellner.
Yeah, exactly. But in good news, we had a great turnout for the voting. Last year we had 39 voters. This mm-hmm. year we had 74 votes.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah, so a lot better. Good job. But let's get into this here. By the way, I think after tonight, we should maybe change the name of the show to the Sasha Banks Show.
Yes. I kind of expected that to be the case. I was kind of like, you're like, I'd voted. I did my voting, of course, and I saw some of the results, but I didn't see the final results, and so I kind of figured it would be Sasha running away with everything. So.
Well, maybe we have some influence because we really talked her up, but
yeah.
We'll see here. And speaking of Chris Zellner, and are also Pete, who's yeah. a great guy here on the Place to Be Nation. He helped us pick our nominees, so let's go through the results and some kind of reactions to it and stuff, and see what's going on. And first of all, we have who to watch in 2016, and Chad Gable kind of walked away with it, 38. Votes, 58% of the voting. And how do you think Chad Gable's doing so far in 2016?
He's doing good. So they have him and Jason Jordan as American Alpha now. And it's really funny how I think people are kind of questioning a name like that. But it also now it's kind of natural for them in some ways. So I don't think it's as big a deal. But they have him basically playing Ricky Morton. In this really cool hybrid Steiner Brothers Rock and Roll Express team, and it's one of the best pure babyface tag teams to come along in a really long time. I think we as wrestling fans always try and glue on to heel teams, right? Great heel tag teams, but this, you know, them and Enzo and Cass, who are kind of right there, but maybe, you know, in ring, probably not as good as these guys, but it's really cool to see what Gable's done. And it just does kind of seem like it's only a matter of time before, you know, he gets to split off and be his own guy. And he's got
made a good run, though.
Yeah, and I think they are. Like, I don't think you're going to see Gable split off from Jordan in NXT. I think, you know, depending on how long they want to leave Enzo and Cass in NXT before they bring him up, they need them to kind of be the face tag team. And so I don't see them breaking him up anytime soon. But there's so many people that Gable would match up so well with that it would be really cool to see him kind of have single showcase matches, even if he's still with Jordan. And so I hope they do that. I hope they still break him up a little bit and give him some opportunities to shine. One thing I hope they do, which I think would be really neat, is if he entered the cruiserweight tournament, because I think he technically could be right there. I think he's only like 209. And so if they try and go 205, I think Gable, if he decides to, you know, if they decide to put him in there, I think he would be a great addition. I really do.
Yeah, that's a neat idea. And, yeah, I don't – like you said, I don't think they're splitting up. They seem to be pushing the thing that last year was the Divas Revolution and this year is the Tag Team Revolution.
Yeah.
At least they're kind of saying that on commentary from time to time. So they're going to need this team throughout the year. But other people getting votes, we have Komatsu had 4 votes, Shibata had 10, and Matt Riddle had 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we did the podcast, never actually seen Matt Riddle, and then I watched all those Evolve shows, and
yeah,
he's looking good. So
he's kind of the guy that everybody thinks is going to be kind of fast tracked to NXT. Like he really is. He's a prodigy. He's a finished product almost right now. That's how good he is. He's a natural in the ring. He's one of the better sellers. Like if you really think about it, he's actually a really great seller, which is not something you think of for a guy who's been in the business all of a year, but he is really good. And he was the other guy I would have voted for. And in fact, I think if you were to look at the long term, I think he's got a way higher ceiling than Gable does. But I think Gable is going to get more of a chance to shine this year than Riddle will.
Yeah. And no one pointed out Fred Yehi, who's having a great year already, so
he's gonna sneak on everybody's list at some point for 2017. I think he might be in NXT by the end of the year. I think he might even be a cruiserweight guy if they decide to bring him in too.
Yeah, we'll see how that tournament plays out, but the best moment of 2015, we had a lot of nominees here. My third choice of Sami Zayn debuting against John Cena got 0 votes.
Wow.
The Rise of the Georgia Indie Scene got 1. Sting's WrestleMania debut got 2. NWA Classics gets 6. Rise of Lucha Underground gets 13. 19 for Kevin Owens' debut. And then 30 votes for Bayley winning the NXT Women's title. And yeah, that was just a spectacular moment.
Yeah, we really don't have to go too much into that. That's been talked about for so long. It's kind of like a type moment. So
yeah, and speaking of that, best feud, they got 40 votes, 58% of the votes. Kind of ran away with that too.
Well, that surprised me because anything that anybody was talking about from a feud standpoint was Kamaitachi and Dragon Lee. Like
which got 15 though.
Right, and so that was kind of interesting. So there was really only 2 Bayley Sasha Banks matches in 2015. They had the 4-way match, which was it wasn't really part of the feud though. And Bayley's feud with Sasha Banks wasn't really that long. Like it was important, but really it was more Bayley going after the title, and it was her ascent. But I mean, I thought of a traditional feud. I thought Kamaitachi and Dragon Lee was just insane. The things they do. I like that they got another chance to do it in front of the Japanese crowd during Fantastica Mania a couple weeks back, and so that was really neat. But I mean, I don't blame anybody for picking Sasha and Bayley because they probably had the 2 most important matches all year. When it comes right down to it.
Yeah, and they had some good segments on TV. The contract signing was really good.
Right.
Sasha asking for a rematch after she lost. There was some good stuff in there too. But yeah, it was more about Bayley's extension instead of a Bayley-Sasha feud, really.
Right. But it's like I said, I don't blame people for voting that way because, I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things, it probably was the most important pairing in 2015.
So just to clarify, we just went best moment of 2015, Bayley winning the title. The best feud was Sasha Banks and Bayley, and the best match, Sasha Banks and Bayley from TakeOver Brooklyn with 70% of the votes. Number 2, Sasha Banks and Bayley, the Iron Man match, 18% of the votes. Yeah, Atlantis, La Sombra getting 10%, and the Bullet Club versus the Ring of Honor All-Stars getting 1 vote. So, yeah.
Man, this is a clean sweep so far.
Yeah, it is. But they none of them are you know, nominated for best non wrestler.
Right, so. That can't happen. That's a technical implausibility there.
Yeah, and this one was a 3-way race. William Regal fell way behind, unfortunately, yeah, with only 8% of the votes. But then 19 votes for Paul Heyman, 21 for Xavier Woods, and 25 for Dario Quartet.
Ooh, so when I did my voting, it was Xavier Woods who was ahead of Cueto. Like this, like I am really excited to see that Cueto won because, as we're kind of seeing in Lucha Underground season 2, him not really being around everything, him being in the outside of what they're trying to build for the beginning of season 2 is not leading it to be as high in quality. And I mean, his importance to that, to Lucha Underground is really one of the things that made it so great last year. Now that he's not really a part of it, he's only getting like 2 or 3 minutes a week on TV in these montages for wherever he is up in Central California. It's kind of tough to see him in that position because he should be front and center. There's no reason why he shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice. I think it's going to be building to something really cool. Because like, Katrina is her name. She's doing like it's an interesting job, and he's doing something weird. And then when it comes together, I think it's going to lead to something better. So I think him being away and then coming back might even be better. So
we'll see. Yeah. Hopefully in the next month or two, it kind of shows itself and, you know, you get something kind of memorable out of it. So we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Right now he's just, you know, feeding strangers to his brother who's murdering them. So
that's awesome.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
But back aboard the Bayley show as most improved wrestler, Bayley with 32 votes, beating up Roman Reigns at 17, Roderick Strong at 10, and Moose at 9. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer there too. So,
yeah, another most entertaining wrestler. This one, I guess, kind of surprised me that the New Day won so easily. They had 43 votes, with Dalton Castle only getting 13.
Yeah,
I thought that'd be closer. I think maybe Ring of Honor not putting Dalton Castle in a good position kind of hurt him here. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the first half of this year, when ROH TV was probably the best thing on television, and it was constantly putting out good match after good match on a weekly basis, and had Dalton Castle at the forefront. Like Castle wasn't booked to win the top prospect cup that they do. He was out in like the first or second round, but he was so over they had no choice but to bring him back. And now it's like he's kind of being used. It's like he's facing Goto right now on the ROH 14th anniversary show, which he's facing Goto. So, he seems like a guy who will never not be over. Like even if he gets pushed back a little bit, he's still going to be over. People want to see him do well. And I hope ROH finally pulls the trigger on him because it's kind of getting stale at the top of the card, and they really need to do something different. So
I think it's kind of criminal that he didn't win the TV title from Jay Lethal and Ultimate Warrior squash type.
That should have happened. Like when that match was signed, that was a way better way to get the title off of him instead. I mean, Roddy was a good story because he had a good year, you know, and he had the PWG stuff, which was kind of one of the reasons they gave him the ROH title was because, you know, he was being so strong there. And I think that if you're trying to build for the future, you know, your main event tonight is O'Reilly, Cole, Lethal, who have been at or near the top of the card for how long now? It's like you get Council involved, you know, and something good could happen. You know, you could surprise yourself with how well it goes. But I mean, really, is there anyone other than New Day? I mean, we're both probably two of the biggest Dalton Castle marks there are, but New Day was incredible this year. They basically turned something that was zero, like absolutely nothing, into the most overact in the company to the point where they're being aped now by Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Yeah. I mean, getting called out by them to do a match either in New Japan or on WWE TV. It's insane, like, how over they are and how much merch they sell and how they're going to continue to do well. And I hope they're get a face run in 2016, to be honest with you, because they could be incredibly good. They could kind of be like the face version of the Shield if they wanted them to. So
yeah, I really fear them as faces, though.
Right.
I feel like as faces, because like they do goofy shit, right?
Right.
And
right.
You know, it's entertaining, but they do some goofy shit that doesn't really work, but it works because they're heels. And I feel like as faces, that stuff's going to be pushed forward, and they're going to become lame caricatures of that they were. It's just that a fear.
That's a good fear, though. I mean, that's kind of something that WWE does not have any averse notion to, is that they will go through that, you know, kind of that well. It's like, oh, you guys are over, and then they'll kind of try and control it a little bit and try and form the message. And I think what is good, though, is that I think all three of those guys are smart enough to, you know, they'll take input, but they're not – it sounds like they have a lot of free reign, because a lot of the stuff they're saying, a lot of the stuff especially Xavier Woods is saying, like, you know, that's not being written for him, you know. And so I kind of feel like regardless of whether they're booked as faces or heels, it's not going to matter because the crowd's going to be all over it. So, but I think a face run with them would be interesting. The problem is I don't think they have a good heel team across from them. It's like who are you going to put across from? The Dudleys? You're not going to put the Dudleys across from them. They just hit 3 months where it was, you know, bullshit. Yeah. Nobody even cared about it. So they might have to just be de facto heels until, you know, Enzo and Cass come along, which is what everybody kind of wants to see, because those two facing off against each other, the way they talk, I think would be really fun to see.
Yeah, but I think Enzo and Cass kind of work good as baby faces too.
Right, so it's kind of like, all right, they're all baby faces. So.
Yeah. And I, whenever I think of like a New Day, I kind of am, I'm thinking with all the injury problems that it's really a shame they didn't do more with Big E around this time of year.
Right,
like
right,
he could
right.
be in a big match right now. Mm-hmm. Like, well, in theory, he should be the guy pushed to the top, not Roman Reigns, but that's a personal opinion. Wasn't there a time like a couple of years ago where it was like Roman Reigns and Big E were the two guys on the undercard that were going to be getting the push?
Yeah, like, and it was Roman. Let me think about this. Now that everybody's talking about it, it's the opposite of what happened. So I'm trying to think. So Roman was Triple H's guy. And Vince loved Big E, or is the other way around? I can't remember now.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically what it was, and they chose Roman. And so Big E was kind of languishing with Dolph and then on his own until the New Day stuff happened. So.
Yeah. Hopefully one day he'll get a top spot, because, yeah, I was hoping for him to take the U.S. title off Cena at the end. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't see any reason why like Woods and Kofi couldn't be tag champs, and then Big E could be like a US or an IC champ or something like that. So
that would be awesome. But so, speaking of New Day, best tag team, the New Day, 42 votes, 21 for the Young Bucks, 6 for Red Dragon, and 2 for the Kingdom. So. We just kind of talked about the New Day, but yeah, great year all around.
Yep, very much so.
So, best in-ring wrestler. There's best in-ring wrestler and most valuable wrestler. And they have the same two at the top here, AJ Styles and Sasha Banks. And I kind of feel like the two winners should be switched. Like, Sasha won most valuable. She had 35 votes to 29 on AJ. And AJ won best in-ring with 35 to 21. I don't know. It's interesting that those two kind of dominated both those awards.
Yeah. I think what happened is, and this is like the narrative of what everybody talked about when the awards were being discussed. And you know, Sasha ended up getting the one award. She got 8th for the Ric Flair award.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people are kind of look at it side-eyed. Like, how the hell does she get 8th, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what I think the interesting thing about Styles in 2015 was that he was a draw, but it wasn't like 2014 where he was fresh off the TNA stuff and he was ready to just jump into New Japan and kind of be that guy. And he was a draw. He was a huge indies draw, and he really kind of became the guy in New Japan. Like, it, there was kind of a question as to whether or not it was him or Okada who was more over at one point. And I think it was AJ in some cases. And then in 2015, he just kind of became the top gaijin. He got another run with the title at the beginning of the year, but that was kind of transitionary. So he didn't have Okada outright beat Style or Tanahashi for the belt, you know. And so I understand why people don't see him as like as much as an MVP type guy in 2015, because in 2014 he just was far and away the most valuable guy that wasn't in the WWE ring, and it was pretty obvious. And I think what people are thinking now is the influence, and what you look back on a year and it's like, who had the more influential year? Was it AJ Styles or was it Sasha Banks? And I think it was kind of easy to see Sasha Banks in that way. So I think that's the rationale I'm going with as to why that would be. But I also get your rationale in the sense that, well, who was the better worker in ring last year? Who had three of the best five matches in the world last year? It was Sasha Banks. You know?
Well, AJ had the consistency and he had more better matches. Yeah, but the high end.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I mean, I'll go to bat for his Kota Ibushi match back in March. I thought that was one of the better matches I had seen AJ Styles do in his like year after TNA, because I think understood more what to do with a guy like Ibushi than I think a lot of other guys do. Like, Nakamura is really the only other guy I think who could do with Ibushi what Styles tried to do with Ibushi, although Styles worked at a different match out of it. But yeah, it was like she had the Becky match, which, you know, proved that it was Sasha, not Charlotte, who was the best one. Then you have the two Bayley matches, and it's just like, really, like, I don't know. I love AJ, but he didn't have a match as good as the Becky-Sasha match in 2015, you know? And there's a giant step between Becky-Sasha and Sasha Bayley. So it's like, but there is a lot of quantity there. And so I can kind of see that. So. Yeah.
So if Sasha got eighth for most valuable, well, like, what other seven were ahead of her?
Yeah, I kind of have to. You're going to make me look this up now, so hold on. So one, Ric Flair, Luthez.
And she's the first female to be listed in the top 10 since Toyota in 95.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah.
Which is insane. But she deserved it. And I recently watched, I reviewed it on my blog, a Sasha Banks Charlotte house show match that was taped by just someone in the crowd, and that was friggin' awesome. I had that at 4 stars too. So all this talk about her only being good when she got to practice the match, I don't know if that's 100% true. I also saw her last week on a pretty good match with Naomi on SmackDown. So
all right, so here's your top 10. Lethal 10, Sombra 9, Sasha 8, Rollins 7.
Rollins.
Lesnar 6. Cena 5. Knack 4. Okada 3. Tanahashi 2. So the top 4 in New Japan.
Yep.
In a down year for them, let's not mince words, they drew less at the Dome. 10,000 less.
Yeah, they had the most four valuable wrestlers in the world.
The four most valuable wrestlers in the world. Meanwhile, John Cena was basically given the opportunity to make a title good again, like Knock did with the IC title, and did that in spades. Lesnar was not really around all that much in 2015.
I guess he had the Taker feud, which
he had the Royal Rumble match, he had the WrestleMania main event, and he had the two Taker matches. So him being quote unquote a draw, that's what they looked at. But it's like, I don't get it. And I Sombra being number 9, I think was interesting too. That being said, as far as first place votes go, Banks was the highest non-New Japan worker to get it. Had more than Brock. Brock had 79. She had 80. So really, really weird. I mean, I don't want to go into the New Japan Dave Meltzer thing, so I won't. But very, very interesting that that was your top 10. So
yeah, that's good. And I guess we're talking about Sasha and AJ. And before we get into a lot more current talk, because there's a few things that I want to go over, maybe we should just talk a little bit about Sasha and AJ now. And, you know, AJ is now in the WWE. He's been there for a couple months now, or a month at least. Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going?
Well, the whole Styles Clash thing with Jericho, I think that was kind of a – I don't know if that was a deliberate thing. So here's the thing. Like, the finish was fine because he beat him with the calf crusher right afterwards. But, I understand what they're trying to do with him. I think it's fine. But he is a guy that right now, considering what's going on at the top of your card, I don't understand this idea of kind of forcefully keeping him below a certain level right now because you're a couple months away from Mania and I guess you don't want to introduce anything too new. I think that will change after WrestleMania, and I think that what's going to happen, it kind of depends on what happens on the Dallas show, because there's a bunch of things that could come in the air. But I think as soon as Finn Balor gets to the left, to the main roster, you're going to see those guys pair up, and you're going to see whatever the Bullet Club, they're going to rename them.
The Balor Club, probably.
The Balor Club. Well, there was something that he posted on Instagram a couple days ago that it looked like he was trying to get trending. I can't remember the name of it offhand, but like I think that's what's going to happen. I almost think it's almost like a holding period, to be honest with you. Yeah. And I understand why they're doing it. Because
but you don't put someone in a holding period in their first month in the company.
Right. But like to them, it seemed like they didn't want to wait until after WrestleMania to get Styles involved. It's kind of just seemed like because the Wrestle Kingdom show just happened, like that was the time to get Styles there. And so the timing was kind of off. But they need to put the $450,000 contract where their mouth is. And make it, you know, something where he's going to be someone that they actually put towards the top of the card and have him second from the top or leading some of these pay-per-views, because the Jericho stuff has been really terrible. Jericho has, you know, there's been good stuff about it, but overall it's just kind of like, why is he with Jericho, you know?
I hate that they made him lose, like he had a loss already in like right. A third match.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he doesn't have lost his momentum. They talked about this on the show at the Fastlane. I don't think it's something where, you know, he's going to be properly, you know, pushed back or anything like that. Cause like there's a question as to how long Nak's going to be in NXT. Like, yeah. You know, he got the full Stanford tour, like they're treating him like a big deal. And so I don't really see. And the other thing too is, and we'll talk about in the current stuff, but what can happen in the front office of the WWE in the next 6 weeks is going to be incredibly interesting. And, you know, that could also have a bearing on what happens with Styles, because we've heard about Kevin Dunn and his love for Southern accents and all that stuff. Although they have let him talk, which is good. You know, they've let him, you know, speak his mind a few times. He can talk. It's not like he can't cut a promo. Yeah. But I just kind of feel like he's we've seen him be used effectively so much over the last 2 years. Basically wherever he's been, he has been booked correctly ever since he left TNA. And it was such a great relief to see him out of that kind of, you know, handcuffed TNA environment. Yeah. And now you're kind of like, what the hell is this?
It's kind of like back to where he was before.
Right. It's not as bad. Nearly. I mean, let's, you know,
not yet.
But it's like he could be doing way more than he is. So.
Yeah. And like, I kind of like, if you're going to debut him and not do much with him, like maybe just have him, you know, beat people that are below him in good matches until you're ready to do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of this, like, I know they think Jericho's a big star and he's, you know, he gives people credibility, but he just doesn't anymore. Like,
Yeah, he's basically done being useful at this point, unless he's just going to, you know, kind of be a voice, like a vocal type, you know, because in the ring, I he's trying to work like he worked, you know, 10 years ago, and that's not going to do it for him. So,
yeah, and I don't know. I haven't watched SmackDown yet, but I saw a GIF on Twitter of him, Jericho, AJ, and Mark Henry dancing.
Right.
So I don't know what that's all about. But no, I guess I'll wait to see before I pass judgment.
Yeah. So
the other thing, Sasha Banks, the other end of the equation, she's came back at the Rumble in a really big moment. She's kind of been in this placeholder feud with kind of team with Becky, getting rid of the Team Bad, and that's going to probably lead to a three-way at Mania. How do you think Sasha's doing in 2016?
Well, it seems like they really want her to be the focal point. I kind of feel like they're setting themselves up for Sasha Bailey at SummerSlam to kind of play off them at Brooklyn the year before. That has to be where they're going. The whole thing with Nikki Bella, which is really unfortunate. And now Brie is not going to be working for the company anymore. It seems it's like, so all of a sudden, and now ratings are going down for Total Divas. And so now kind of like there's this opportunity here for Sasha to be the lead, you know, the top, the ace of the women's division, and kind of remake it in her image. And I think if she's given the opportunity to do that, it's just going to be like what happened in NXT. And I think it is. I think you're going to see, you know, the Bayley Asuka stuff that looks like it's got to be Asuka dropping it, you know, or her dropping it to Asuka, you know, mm-hmm. and that being her send off at Dallas is kind of what the assumption is. So, and like I said, I think you basically have Sasha have her Charlotte rematch, her match with Becky Lynch, you know, the proving of Becky Lynch. And I think you just run what happened in NXT, run it back, and let Bayley come in and build to Sasha and Bayley at SummerSlam and put that second on the top or at the top, depending on what you have at SummerSlam, and see what happens. But this seems like it's going to be Sasha's year, which is going to be really cool. And it'll be nice to see if they actually give her the room to work with what she does best.
Yeah, and you just got my hopes up a lot. So
sorry. But oh. it just seems like if you're looking for what the path is, I mean, Nikki and Brie both being out, it's like this is your opportunity, right? It just seems like that is what you build to, because if you want to do something special for SummerSlam and do something with this truly Divas Revolution thing, putting Bayley and Sasha across from each other at SummerSlam seems like it kind of has to happen, right? And so I at least that's what I hope. And I really do think that they'll at least consider it. They'll put them across from each other at some point. But I really hope they like don't bring Bayley out the night after WrestleMania and then have them face off against each other at Payback or something like that. It's like, no, please don't do that. You know, just build that thing up, and you'll get your money's worth for it.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust Kevin Dunn and Bayley together.
Yes, and that's what we're gonna have to talk about when we get into current wrestling, because because we have to kind of do an audit on wrestling Twitter or the IWC, whatever you want to call it, because what's been happening the last couple of weeks has been very interesting, and I have some thoughts. So
yeah, so you know, at that point we'll probably take a break here. We'll pay the bills, as we're trying to be a fake Chris Elner show, as he would say, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Shane McMahon. We'll talk about Ring of Honor's sustainability of their current model. And some various other things that's going on, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place B Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at placebnation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tourneaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
And we're back. Everyone, go check out all those great shows all over the network. I think this is the only one of mine they actually advertise, but I have other shows. You should check those out too. Before we talk about Shane McMahon and everything going on in the WWE, do you have anything you would like to have people check out, Tim?
Yeah, so obviously I'm on Twitter at Mr. Tim Livingston. Phoenix Pro Wrestling will have their latest show up here in the next couple of days, we're hoping. That's to lead into our show on March 18th at Phoenix Pro. Jeff Cobb is going to be in the main event, and he will be facing off against Drake Frost for the PBW Championship. So that'll be cool to see Jeff in the house with what he's been doing the last couple of months. He's really been getting a lot of really great work all around the country. He worked in Chicago, and he's worked some Lucha Underground stuff too. And I'm excited to see what happens with those tapings and when he comes along, because he's a great talent, and I'm really excited to see him do well. And then outside of that, not much else. I mean, I'm on the wrestling side. I'm doing what I can with you. Obviously, we're getting into the nitty gritty. Our next show is going to be about the greatest wrestler ever poll, and that's going to be one heck of a show, because the last minute nominations are coming in fast. Man alive. I mean, we're talking 600 people in this thing by the time it's all said and done. Not nearly enough to get, you know, a lot. It's going to be a lot of people, like, nominating people they'll probably vote for themselves. That's what these nominations are probably going to end up being in a lot of ways. But it'll be kind of interesting to see if any of these last minute additions kind of change the narrative a lot. There's a couple of people I was actually really surprised didn't get nominated. Like Rush somehow didn't get nominated until like a couple weeks ago, or a couple days ago, I should say now. So, it's fun. And so check that out. The last day is Monday or Tuesday. Sorry. Tuesday is the last day you can nominate somebody. So that's what I would plug. Go to the Pro Wrestling Only boards and check it out.
Yeah. If you are thinking of voting for anyone, make sure they're nominated. So all you have to do is find – you can either write up three match reviews or find three match reviews and post them there, and then get at least nominated. Pretty simple. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Stephen Graham TWS. I'm trying to be more active recently, so you don't have to unfollow me. That's good. I've been really crappy at my blog ever since I strained my rotator cuff because I just don't want to sit down and write. But I'm getting better, so I'll start to I'll probably type out something soon, which will be great. Anything else to plug? Oh, me and Parv are the All Japan Excite series. We will finish it before the deadline date of WrestleMania. We have 5 shows left. We're going to hopefully record 2 or 3 this weekend. We'll get them all done before the WrestleMania deadline, so don't worry. Yeah, and our next show, you kind of plugged it here. It'll be about the greatest wrestler ever. We're debating 2 ideas, so maybe if you guys want to come and to the thread or on Twitter and hit us up and comment whether you'd like to hear part of me and Tim's list, like the top half of our list or whatever, or if you want people like Dylan or Will or whatever on to kind of roundtable out different nominees. So those are your 2 options, so let us know which you'd rather have.
Right, because we really are trying to figure out. It's going to be a long show. Let's just put that out there. This will probably be amongst the longest shows that we've done. And we did the 2-part top 100 matches of all time. Like, this is how invested all of us are into this project. This is how invested all of us are in getting this correct. And so we either want to go down a huge list or we want to basically pick out who we think are going to be some of the most important names. And so please let us know what you would rather listen to. And so then when we do that show, it's to right up there with what everybody wants to hear.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm working on the Google form so you people can vote in a nice, beautiful place. The system I'm working on right now is a spot where you put in the name of each spot, and then you can leave a comment and recommend some matches in there. So we can have a nice write-up thread of all the nominees at the end. But we'll see how that works in the end. But that should be good, I think. But let's get back into this. The WWE, we were going to record last Friday. And I was like, I was just in too much pain. And Parv wanted me to do something, and that fell through. And anyways, we postponed it a week. And I was kind of sad because there was so much going on with Bryan Danielson and all this stuff. But, you know, we waited a week and then Shane McMahon came back.
Yeah. So let's just point this out. Like, a week ago, it was Daniel Bryan basically saying goodbye. And now this week, it's Shane McMahon saying hello. It's like really, really weird. Wrestling is really weird right now.
Yeah. So we'll talk about all around it. But first, I just want to ask you, do you think Shane McMahon will wrestle a match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania?
I'm going to say yes, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, I think everybody kind of has this idea that John Cena is being a bit more vocal now on social media and trying to basically tell people he's ready to come back. And
although he did a recent tweet where he was basically – the gist of it was sometimes you try and sometimes it doesn't work, but never give up and keep working. So it kind of sounded like last week he was trying to see if he could be ready for Mania and he found out he couldn't be.
Right. And so so the reason I kept that in my mind while I was trying to formulate my answer was basically like one of 2 things happened with Shane coming in. Either it's a bait and switch to get John involved, or it's John can't go. And so Shane is the replacement for him versus Undertaker. The more I think about it, I think it's more likely the closer you get, because I don't know if Cena is, you know, if he's not ready now, I don't think he'll be ready in a month. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, to be ready in a month, you'd have to be ready in a week to go, you know, after that. So I think it's basically going to happen. It's very interesting time for him to come in, obviously, with what's going on in the back of the WWE front office and all that stuff. But it just kind of seems he's only going to be on TV. Doesn't seem like there's anything to him being someone who could be a part of what's going on in the back.
It seems like he'll be done after Mania, too.
Yeah. And so I kind of feel like – so – the other thing too is, and you know, this kind of falls into it, and so I'll kind of ask you is, you know, the next, the whole thing about the controlling interest of Raw, right? That's what's being on, you know, it's being talked about. It's on the line here. Like, the idea is that another brand split could happen.
Yeah.
And that would mean that you're basically saying that since Taker lost to Lesnar, like, it's almost like, so he can be beaten by anybody right now. Right? It's like, you're going to bring Shane in. And if you're on this brand split thing, then Shane's got to win. Do you think there's anything to this? Because like, I don't see why a brand split would be beneficial to the company. I understand it's a shakeup; it's something that would be different, but I don't see how it'd be beneficial to the company right now to do a true brand split.
It really depends. Like, if they did it and. So say they did it where like Triple H and Stephanie got to, or Triple H and his friends got to run SmackDown totally the way they wanted, and Kevin Dunn and Vince got to run Raw totally the way they wanted, and it was two different, like they kept separate and they were actually competing against each other instead of, you know, not competing against each other like the old brand split was a lot of times.
Right.
That might be something, but and you know, it might be a way to keep someone like, say, Tyler Breeze from being completely shit on by Kevin Dunn and such. So there might be some benefits that way to kind of protect Triple H's guys, have them separated away from the problem. But like, if you have a problem,
yeah, that's just like delaying the inevitable.
Yeah.
A lot of ways. Well, here's the thing. It's a great idea in theory, but you're going to have to come together on these pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's not forget, back in 2002 when they gave Heyman the book and SmackDown, and he had the SmackDown 6, and it was outdrawing Raw in the ratings because of how well it was doing, it was like there was kind of this thing. It was like – well, then they kind of cut the legs out from Heyman when they did the draft, and you know, and then he said them something that, you know, if he wasn't doing as well, I don't think it would have been taken as bad as it did, you know, and yeah. He got shuffled on down to OVW and all that. This kind of seems like that in the sense that, yeah, okay, give you know Triple H and whoever he wants to run SmackDown, give him SmackDown. But have you seen NXT? Yeah, have you seen NXT? Yeah. You know, they're doing great work down there. And, you know, to say that you want to give someone who, by all intents and purposes, is putting together one of the greatest political ploys in the history of the business together right now, is to give him a show, is to basically set yourself up to have the rug pulled out from under you basically whenever that show ends up doing as well as people think it would. And I don't see it. So the Shane stuff is interesting just because it entered another variable into the scenario. Although now it's, you know, as the news comes out the week after or the few days after, seems like it's pretty benign. There's not going to be much to it. But it does make for some interesting times leading up to Mania.
Yeah. Like, if this is the straight-up match, I have a lot of issues with it. Because,
yes.
Okay, one thing, you're teasing something, the authority being out of power, that everyone wants.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you don't deliver it, that's a big disappointment.
Right.
That's one problem. The other mm-hmm. problem is, so in theory, the crowd would want to cheer on Shane McMahon, but he's facing The Undertaker, right? And people don't want to cheer against The Undertaker.
Right.
Also, why the hell is The Undertaker accepting this match, fighting for the authority?
Right.
So, like, there's a lot, like, I think on Raw, like, they'll address this somehow. They kind of have sure. to.
Yeah, like, they'll write themselves out of it, yeah.
Yeah, like, you have, actually, I was listening, I have a Torch subscription now, and I was listening to The Fix with Todd Martin, and he actually found a way to make it make sense, where basically Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon double team and take out The Undertaker, turning heel. And The Undertaker accepted the match because he knew Shane McMahon was a phony and a liar and he didn't want to help him type of situation. And then, you know, you lead to an Undertaker Roman Reigns feud, and Roman Reigns is the heel, which, you know, and then it makes sense because he's facing Triple H, who will be cheered later on and all this stuff. So there is ways to work around it, but something's got to change. They can even have on Monday, Undertaker can show up and say, I'm not going right. to be your puppet. And then he's like, you know, you find yourself a new person or whatever. And he like teams with Shane against Vince and whoever or whatever, or Kane or whatever the hell they do.
But right.
I don't know. But you've also teased Shane McMahon wrestling, which people kind of were excited to see Shane. And now if you don't deliver that, that's a problem.
So. Yeah, and it's Shane in a car wreck scenario, which is, you know, what everybody remembers Shane for best is, you know, perhaps the greatest stunt guy in the history of the company. So it all around is just weird. And it is telling about how much faith that the WWE has in anybody outside of those top four guys that they have right now. You know, they couldn't give Ambrose to the Undertaker. They're going to give him the Brock, which is great. You know, that the fact that that's going to happen is a good thing for him too. But Brock has had his knees cut out from under him so many times. It's kind of like, what's the point? You know, it's just kind of a weird scenario. And this is where you wish you had, you know, some guys that you really wanted to have on the up and up and to feed to Taker and have him put him over or something like that. But you don't have that now. Like, you had the Bray Wyatt match last year and look how much they think of him now. So it's just a weird scenario. And the fact that Shane is the best thing that could come from, you know, they could go get is pretty telling about what they think of their top guys right now.
Yeah. Cause like they could have easily put, Undertaker with, you know, a Luke Harper, a Big E, an AJ Styles, a Nakamura, like a lot of different people that, you know, it's not like they're top guys now, but it would have been interesting and it would have drawn attention because it would have been someone new, you know, being in that top spot. But, you know, I don't think... I don't know. It's a weird company right now that it's different than it's ever been in the past.
Yes. Like, yeah. And so if we go to the next thing we were going to talk about, it's to put it bluntly, it's the Dylan Hayes political hit theory. And so for those who don't know, and I'm guessing if you're listening to this, you probably know, but basically months ago when Roman Reigns was first starting to get a little bit weird when it came to his push, he basically had this idea that it was a political hit on Reigns and it was perpetrated by Triple H in the sense that he was basically trying to sabotage the idea that he could be a top guy since both Kevin Dunn and Vince wanted him to be the guy. And so as each progressive pay-per-view event happens, the evidence mounted in a way such that now it has become like the hot topic amongst the internet wrestling community, quote unquote, wrestling Twitter, whatever you want to call it. There are two things to this angle that make me feel very, very, very inquisitive and really question what's going on here. First off, this has split wrestling fans on the internet in the sense that there are the people who are quote-unquote media members that have their ties to WWE and I think are being fed information in a way that they can't confirm it's happening. But there's also the underlying issue that, like, what type of information are you being given to say that it's not happening? And then there's the people who are outright denying it and are saying that it's just based on competence. And it's like – it's really weird, Steven. Like, I'm sitting here trying to put this all together. Dylan says he's going to have something in the next couple of days that kind of puts it all out there so that people can say once and for all what everybody's thinking. But this is like, this is what is making everything leading up to Mania so interesting, because there's this thought process that if they don't sell out Mania, which it looks like is going to happen, that it looks like they're about 20,000 tickets short and they don't have anything to sell those 20,000 tickets before now and then, they're going to have to paper those seats. That can be pointed to at some point as a failure on Vince's part for, you know, promising the largest crowd in the history of professional wrestling in the United States and not coming through on it, you know? And that is like the kind of going to be the catapult into the post WrestleMania plans, where there's so many of these NXT guys ready for the main roster. And how are you going to use them? How are you going to use AJ Styles? How are you going to use Doc Gallows and Karl Anderson? How are you going to, you know, go after some of these other guys that they're going to be getting for this Cruiserweight tournament? Like this time period right now is akin to what happened 15 years ago, when there seemed to be something on the horizon and we couldn't really see it until it actually happened. And then that's when ECW folded, WCW folded, and Vince ended up buying both of them essentially. So this seems like a very weird time, and we're kind of on the precipice of something that could be the next step, the next evolution in wrestling in the United States.
Yeah. Speaking of the political hit, did you see Raw?
Did not yet. No, oh, okay. I saw kind of bits and pieces of it.
Okay, so here's the situation. They force Roman to face Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
They ban the League of Nations from ringside. The match kind of ends when Triple H comes to ringside. Sheamus just leaves, and Triple H one-on-one destroys Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the part I saw, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, if Triple H was trying to be a heel, to get booed, and not be the conquering hero giving crotch chops, you know, he could have had the League of Nations. He could have had Sheamus help him take out Roman Reigns. Instead, he did it like a man. He destroyed him. And then he crotch chopped and left to giant cheer. Like, there's no way he's so stupid that he didn't think crotch chopping wouldn't have got a big cheer in that moment after blooding up Roman Reigns. Yeah. So what I've come to the conclusion of as of Monday is that there was a political hit. Triple H was undermining this whole thing. But the only way they've realized that they can salvage it is they have to do a double turn at Mania.
Yes.
So now he is setting the things up to be a babyface.
Well, so here's the other little wrinkle that just got added today. He's showing up on the March 12th show in Toronto.
Oh, is and he? Oh, I get to see Triple H live. Oh, boy.
And he might be defending the championship.
What?
Yes.
When did this happen?
This just got announced today.
Okay, like, against who?
Not sure yet. Okay. It hasn't been announced. So now the great speculation is, okay, what if they jettisoned it somehow on the network, right? Make it a big deal, right? It automatically becomes a big deal. And let's say it's Ambrose that challenges him. And let's say that Rain somehow helps Ambrose win or something. Like, this is out in my head booking.
Okay.
But let's say he drops the title that night. Is that because Reigns is more hurt than people are letting on? Because this was kind of done to write him off the show for a little while. Or is there really something like in Vince's head where he's like, no, I want this to happen instead. Like, could this be another curveball thrown a couple of weeks before WrestleMania happens? Because literally, they were talking about how they were writing Sunday's show, Fastlane, as it happened. Like, they didn't have any idea what they were going to do until the very end. And they seemed the same thing for the Royal Rumble. Like, could they really be in that mode? Could they do something that crazy?
Yes.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to be the only one here. I really didn't.
Vince McMahon has, you know, he's done a lot of crazy things. Changing which match is the title match 2 weeks before Mania isn't that great. Like, because what you do, then you just have Ambrose Lesnar for the title and you have Triple H Roman Reigns as just a fight, right? Like,
right.
That actually makes more sense as a card than what they currently have.
Right. And that's what I'm kind of thinking here is that, like, if you do it as a grudge match, I think it's fine. It actually might allow you to do, you know, to have a face Roman versus a heel Triple H in a way. Like, you might be able to pull that off because all of a sudden now the title isn't being put up and the fans could just be able to get behind who they want instead of like, oh, it's just going to be Roman beating Triple H for the title. However, this is the other thing I wanted to bring up with this. Let's say Triple H retains the title at WrestleMania. Because Seth Rollins will be ready to come back a couple months after the show. If that happens, and someone tells me there's no political hit on Roman Reigns.
There's no way that Roman Reigns...
I
would
go to their house and slap them in the face.
There's no way Roman Reigns can be in the main event of WrestleMania and not win the title.
Here's the thing, though. Let's say it happens. Because it could happen. This is what I'm talking about. Like, you have no idea, like, what it would take. Like, because Triple H could now go to Vince and be like, so, those reactions for Roman. Are they getting better? No. Do you really want him to win the title to a massive chorus of boos?
Like, while you're sitting next to Jerry Jones in the press box.
Right, right. Like, I think that if there is a definite possibility that Triple H walks away as champ and that the only way he loses it is he'll turn himself heel somehow and he'll drop it to a returning babyface Seth Rollins because that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. If he can get that to happen, the political hit's a 100% non-theory. It is 100% fact. Fact. So but I had to bring it up. I was like, that's in play, folks. That is most definitely in play.
Well, the first special event in Toronto since 2006 is turning out to be a bigger deal. But yeah. They have Luke Harper versus Brock Lesnar, so I'm excited nonetheless.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like, that's a good use of Brock in those. The last two he did with Kofi and Big Show, it's like that was kind of an use of Brock. This is a good.
Yes. I'm so excited.
This is a good use of Brock. So.
Yeah, and Musgrave got us some good tickets. So
good. That should be fun for you guys.
Yeah, man. 2006. How ridiculous is that?
10 years, man. It's so weird.
Ten years for Toronto, one of their biggest markets.
Yeah. However, and the great segue that I'm about to bring, a company that has been to Toronto many a times, that you have seen many a times, who is currently having their 14th anniversary show.
As
we record, you wanted to talk about this. So describe to the people out there what your thoughts are on Ring of Honor and their current business model, because you have some thoughts and you have some kind of things that you've been noticing that you want to kind of talk about. And I'm kind of interested to see what the specifics are to what you think with ROH.
Yeah, basically, I haven't been like since I stopped doing This Week in Wrestling, I haven't really watching the TV. I kind of catch up on bigger events later and that kind of stuff. But I was like, you know what? It's the 14th anniversary. Maybe I'll order the show tonight and watch it after we're done recording here. And then I looked. I went to add to order, and it told me it was $35. Do you know what you can get to watch wrestling with for $35?
A lot. You can get a lot nowadays.
You could get – this is what you could have done this year. You could have got – the New Japan Tokyo Dome, Fantastic Mania, New Year's Dash, and then canceled, and then got a month of NWA Classics, and then canceled, and then you could get a month of the WWE where you get this Road to WrestleMania with Luke Harper versus Brock Lesnar. You get WrestleMania, and you get the NXT special with Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. You can get all that for about $30, or you can spend $35 and watch this Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, so...
It's 2016. Okay, I'll tell some... Okay, some of you might be older than us, might be older than me, might be used to traditional media and that kind of stuff. Here's the thing. People will steal shit unless you make it an easy, accessible way to watch it.
Right.
I don't steal WWE pay-per-views anymore because they made it a nice way to watch it. I don't steal music anymore because Spotify's there. I don't steal movies because of Netflix. I don't steal TV shows because of Hulu. Ring of Honor pay-per-views? I'm not spending $35.
Yeah.
Evolve? I'll give Evolve $10 for the shows because that's equivalent to a month of the WWE Network. I'm not giving you $35.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And on the other side of that, PWG, right? So PWG has just absolutely...
DVDs! No one watches DVDs! No one has digital media anymore!
Has absolutely just completely written off Evolution into even having some type of video on demand service. They basically, and this is what's so interesting about their business model. So ROH's business model at this point is kind of like a mid-level, you know, better than indie. You still have to pay a pretty good ticket to get front row of their shows, et cetera. PWG tickets were going for $70 a pop at the Grange Hall in Reseda for 300, 400 people, right? That's a pretty dang good gate for an indie show where you're bringing in supposedly the best talent in the world. Yet for people who actually can't go to the shows and want to watch the shows, I keep hearing about people getting DVDs a month, 2 months sometimes after they make their order happen, like emailing people weeks after because they haven't received their DVDs yet. Like, it is kind of mind-blowing to me. And we've talked about it on this show, the Evolve model of buying as the show is happening but paying more because you didn't buy it beforehand. You know, like really weird things. Like, it's just like the business models that people look for are – they try to be high-margin business models, but what you should be looking for, and this is why the WWE, in quote-unquote, took a hit doing the network, is that they're okay with maybe losing money right now when they do it, but in the long term, giving your guys, you know, easy access to shows and bundling them like you talked about, or, you know, or having them easily available to stream or video on demand, having that set up is a way better business model than putting yourself out there and making people buy, you know, 2,000 pay-per-view prices for your, you know, for a show that in 2 days is going to be available on a torrent website and people are just going to get it that way. You know, indie wrestling has to now think of digital media as a part of their business model. It's not the sole way you make money. It is a part of your business model. And people who want to see your product, they want to be able to see it in a way where it's easy for them, like you said, to digest. And paying $35 for an ROH pay-per-view is not exactly how you do that.
No, I can I subscribe to Progress. I can watch their shows. I could subscribe to CZW. I could subscribe to Smash. I could subscribe to Shikara. All these companies, I could just pay a monthly fee and watch anything. Evolve, I can, you know, $9.99. I can buy any one of their shows. I can go back for like $14. That's still okay, and buy any of their former shows. $35 in 2016 for a show. They just WrestleMania is $10.
Yeah.
You're telling me this show is $35.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't work anymore. It's outdated and it's not sustainable. And if they want to keep doing this, they're not going to grow the way they want to. They're spending all this extra money on production. They're trying to bring in some bigger stars. They're trying to spend the money. But if you have this outdated old school model, you're going to die. PWG, they have to adapt because DVDs are dead. No one under the age of 30 is going to buy a DVD anymore.
Yeah.
DVDs is basically a dead medium. Do you know what? I went to Best Buy. They used to have these giant DVD sections. You know what it is now? It's hidden in the back corner with one shelf.
Yeah,
DVDs
exactly.
are dead.
Yeah.
Grow up, PWG. Yeah. How is a company run by a 70-year-old man more in touch with the youth of today than PWG and Ring of Honor?
Yeah. Well, Ring of Honor also has the TV issue, which with the pop TV stuff and all this, like they're not doing as well as you want them to. They see and they're also trying to do the exclusive deals because they're so afraid of people jumping to NXT now. That's why they got the Bucks to an exclusive deal. They only let the Kyle O'Reilly / Adam Cole deals where they could work PWG happen because they understood that those were the only other places they would work that were akin to ROH. They don't have Michael Elgin under contract now. He's now a New Japan contracted worker. It's like they really don't know what they're doing in a lot of ways. And it's just kind of mind-boggling how they are asking people to pay $35 to see a show that in a lot of ways is not up to snuff with that type of money here or anywhere close to it. If ROH was what it was in 2004 or 2005, no doubt you'd be paying $35 for those pay-per-views. Not now. Why was I paying $15 for Driven, which is one of the greatest pay-per-views in the history of wrestling, with Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson having one of the greatest matches ever on top? Why was I paying $15 for that, but you want me to pay $35 for this?
And not only that, think about this. There was two Ring of Honor New Japan shows
yes.
that you could have got for $9.99, both of them.
Right.
By having New Japan World, and now you have a New Japan – how is this New Japan Ring of Honor show going to be that much better?
So this is why I think needs to happen, and with what they did with the ROH shows in Japan, I think they have a basis for this. But something tells me that within this year that ROH is going to go into an agreement with New Japan to have streaming services on New Japan World. So they would be having their stuff on New Japan World with their major shows as part of the package. And I hope
sense.
That would make a lot of sense, and it would make the product much more accessible for their fan base. And it would be – they'd still get money off of it. They could work out a percentage, and they would still be able to be in a great spot with a lot of exposure. And they would be able to do what they want to in some ways. I think that's the only thing they can do at this point because the pop TV stuff, I mean, this is it. Like if they can't make pop TV work, they're done. They're not going to be able to get on any other network. And so it's like
– well, doesn't the company own all the syndication channels?
They do. I mean, so the syndicated stuff is fine, but for what the production costs are now that they've been putting in, like you talked about, I doubt that's going to be able to break even. I really do think that part of the negotiations with them getting the new, the shows in Japan are that ROH will, by probably the end of this year, beginning of next year, as a way to get their stuff out there better, their services will be run with New Japan World. That's got to be it. If they don't, then they deserve what they get because they're not going to be able to stay afloat for
well,
very
long. They could do more Evolve type pricing. Like,
right.
That would make sense. And really, like, I know they put their Ring of Honor show on their website, but if they just like put it on YouTube or if they could, I don't know, work with Hulu or Netflix or Amazon Prime or something, they'd be in a lot better position. I don't know if they could, but they could at least put it on YouTube.
Right.
Like, it's almost like the people running it have no idea what anyone who's younger than them is like.
Yeah.
It's like they're so out of it's weird to talk about Ring of Honor being so out of touch, but it's almost like they're so out of touch.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they're doing. They're backing themselves into a hole. And I understand why PWG does their DVD stuff, because they're the hipster kind of, like, they're in their niche. And, you know, if you really want to view this stuff, this is how you go out and find it. You know, they want it to be the wrestling's fan, you know, the true wrestling fans kind of way of getting their product. But that's not how you make money. You know, they do good at the gate. Let's not be honest. When you're paying $72 a pop to go to All-Star Weekend, and people are paying it, and you sell out in a couple of minutes, basically, because you only need to sell 400 tickets or whatever. It's like, you're doing a pretty good job there. You can pay the guys to come in, you can fly people in, you know, and you can still make some money off of it. But also, it's like, why not just take a little bit off the top, assume a loss, and have a streaming service where people can, you know, either have a monthly access payment, or they can, you know, buy shows on demand digitally for half the price. This is what I don't get. You have DVDs, right? You have the file for those DVDs. You know how much, like, more cost efficient it is to have a server with all those digital files on it than to put DVDs and have cases and have artwork for the cases? It's like, I really don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah. It's not even like DVDs is a dead medium. Like, hipsters, like, vinyl, right? Vinyl is a medium that works really well. There's an advantage to having vinyl versus digital.
Yeah.
There's no advantage to having DVD over digital. It's just insane. Are they even putting it on Blu-ray?
Yeah, they're not even doing that.
So just DVD? Like, I don't understand at all. Adapt. Even Best Buy knows. Even the WWE knows. Even New Japan knows. Everybody knows. You got to move on. So,
yeah. So
things change. So we'll see. I guess they could, you know, they're still going to make their money off their live gates. So it's not like they're going to die or anything. But
right.
The buzz will, you know, is going to die off if you're just selling. Well, you still have you just won't get new younger fans if you just keep going with DVDs.
Right.
Although it's going to be a time where you won't be able to play DVDs probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I had to get this new laptop because my old one died. Like, I swear, out of the 50 laptops I looked at, 3 of them had DVD players.
Right.
Like, they don't come with DVD players anymore.
Nope, they do not.
So, that's my rant there.
There you go.
I got worked up.
Yeah, you did. I liked it. It was great. You touched on everything you needed to, man. So we touched on Shane. We touched on ROH.
Yeah, those were the two big things. What else is going on in wrestling right now?
I was trying to think. There was you want to talk about Evolve, because what they've done already in 2016. So the whole Evolve NXT partnership that everybody knows has basically happened. Like, all of a sudden, man, like, you had, you know, Fred Yehi and Sami Callihan to this, and it's like Evolve is actually again turning into, you know, must see, like, way more must see than ROH in a lot of ways. I know ROH can kind of get some of the big names in there, but, like, you know, for guys who are big on work, it's like the Yehi Williams matches, you have Riddle, you have Thatcher, you have, you know, the great stuff with Gulak and Catchpoint and all that stuff. Like, it's actually a pretty good time for Evolve right now. And
you had that three-part show,
the Royal Rumble weekend shows.
Yeah, they had the friggin' that tag matches, as most people have as tag of match of the year.
Right.
There was a lot of really good stuff there already.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got some good stuff booked going forward, like on March 19th. Yeah, March 19th. They already have Thatcher against Riddle.
Right.
Sabre Jr. versus Gargano. Whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the main stuff there, but, like, that's ridiculous. And then the next night, on the 20th, they've booked Drew Galloway and Gargano versus Team Tremendous. Timothy Thatcher versus Caleb Conley. That should be all right. Mm-hmm. Matt Riddle versus Chris Hero.
Jesus criminy.
And Zack Sabre Jr. versus Drew Gulak.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's ridiculous.
It really is. Yeah, Gulak, actually, people were talking about how long it would be before Gulak kind of followed Biff Busick into NXT, and everybody thinks, you know, Thatcher is almost a shoo-in at some point this year to make the NXT. But Gulak is the head trainer at Chikara now. And, you know, it seems like he's really interested in kind of, you know, being the one of those top trainers, kind of like, in, you know, Quackenbush had his group of guys that he worked with, and Williams coincidentally being one of them. You know, now you get to have Williams work with Gulak, and he's got his brothers involved. And, like, it's really interesting time right now, because Evolve with the NXT partnership, you've already seen it with Gargano and Ciampa. It's like, you know, Riddle and NXT should be a shoo-in at some point this year. Like, you're going to see Riddle on a show. You already saw Busick. It's like, this is really cool. This is a really cool time for people. Like, if you get in with Evolve, there's a reason for it, and there's really some good things that can come out of that partnership. And I'm really interested to see, you know, the people that end up being a part of NXT this year because of the partnership. And I think Riddle is the guy. We already talked about him as the guy to watch in 2016, but he just has this natural charisma that you just can't teach, and he's so good already that it's really just like, who do you want to see him against? Anyone at this point. Like, you could you could see him literally, like, him and Yehi, that match, my God. I mean, the Chris Hero match could really be, like, it's almost like the perfect time, because Hero has figured it out. Like, he's okay with not being NXT bound. He's just like, I'm gonna be the big ass kiss, you know, kicker of Evolve, and, you know, and he's been that guy. And, you know, I like the way that, you know, now they're gonna get Riddle involved with him, and, you know, him versus Thatcher is gonna be fun too, because
he's also facing Sabre Jr.
Yeah,
exactly. And they have Thatcher Callahan on the same show.
Yeah, holy, like, calamity, dude.
That,
I mean,
I think I have to get all the WrestleMania weekend shows, because this is ridiculous. Sabre Jr. versus Riddle is booked. Like, it's ridiculous. So, and Ospreay's there, and Ricochet, and it's WrestleMania weekend is going to be. I think I'm going to have to book it off work, because there's going to be a lot to watch.
I have my Sunday off, so that'll be good. I have to work on that Saturday beforehand, but I'll be able to watch the NXT show, which this shaping up to be a top flight show. Like,
what's all booked? Because I haven't read the spoilers. I know Nakamura is Sami Zayn.
Nakamura, Sami Zayn, and so because Sami Zayn's facing Nakamura, you're gonna have Joe versus Finn Balor. Like, that's basically what's gonna happen, because if Nak and Sammy already booked, that's basically going to tell you that Joe beats Sammy next week or 2 weeks, whatever that is. Asuka Bailey.
Yeah.
Right. Then the other thing is, you're going to see American Alpha face the Revival, which is Dawson and Dash. And so the idea here is that you could really have, you know, Nak in the Kevin Owens opening match role. You can have, you know, Asuka and Bailey in either the second or top. They haven't said what the main event is. Now,
are you going to follow Nakamura and Sami Zayn?
That's the other thing, right? So
you going to follow Asuka versus Bayley?
So how do you book this show? I really don't know. Like, it's insane. It really is insane how stacked that show is going to be. And I'm looking forward to that show, to say the least. So, and then of course the Cruiserweight tournament. We'll talk more about that down the line when things get closer. But Kota Ibushi going freelance, like, the stirring has already happened. The Knock has already talked about him. Bloom has already talked about him. Like, Ibushi in the Cruiserweight tournament is almost a shoo-in at this point. You know, it's like, and Sombra is going to be the basically the superstar of this tournament. That's what this tournament's kind of being booked around, with Manny Andrade getting, you know, his look. And really kind of his chance to shine here. So, and like I said, literally don't think of any contractual obligation as a roadblock to be in this thing.
No, I don't think so.
Don't. Like, if you don't think Ricochet is going to do everything he can to try and get in this tournament, I have a beautiful bridge in London to sell you. It's like, it is seriously like everything is in bounds here. Nothing.
Well, the WWE did have a meeting with Lucha Underground.
Right, and he's worked with New Japan, and now that Lucha Underground is done working for, you know, the time being, like, there is definitely a there's definitely some talk that, you know, he's sought after, he really is, and this could be the time to bring him along and make him the guy, and he would be a great addition, you know, obviously, to the tournament. So when we get closer and we kind of see who is or who's not a part of it, it's going to be fun to see, because I think they are going to go out and get guys. Like if Ospreay's working Evolve, there's no reason why he shouldn't be working this tournament. None. Like, Ospreay should be in this. If they can get Speedball Mike Bailey involved,
that'd
if he
can
be
great.
In this tournament.
They need 32 guys. I looked through their roster. I could maybe scrounge up 10.
Yeah, so you go.
They need people.
Yeah, so Manny Andrade, like I said, Gable could probably make it if they really want him to. They do need people. They really do. You know, Busa could make it.
Callisto.
It's like, you know, Callisto could make it. But
Neville,
like,
maybe.
But like, yeah, if Neville wants to be a part of this. But the other thing too, and this is how the booking goes, is that they want this to be a showcase tournament. You're gonna have your guys booked into it. But they have to really treat this like Ebola, in the sense that, like, you have a lot of top guys, and so you almost want to do one of two things. Either have it be a match where you know he's not going to beat the other guy and it's a showcase for the guy who's going to lose, or you're putting two guys against each other where nobody knows who's going to win. And so you have to kind of figure out how you book all those. And with 32 guys, depending on how they feel about different guys coming in, it's going to be interesting to see when they get these names who are coming in for this. Like if Kota Ibushi goes out in the second round, there's something weird there. Like, that shouldn't happen, right? Like, that's what's going to be tough about this, is how do they get people involved where they book them through this? Like, the other guy that – and this is the thing. The other guy who should be ready to go to come back, and I think it would be a great thing for him, is Kenta. So if you get a Tommy back in there, I think he would be great. I really do. I think a Tommy being in this would be really a great thing for him. There's a lot of names out there that are being rumored, and people are just saying it would be great if he's here. So we'll see. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, and there's 10 episodes.
Yes.
There's lots of time for each match, like – you only have to have like 3 matches a show, so there's lots of time.
Yeah,
I kind of hope the finals is like a 2-hour live special or something.
Yeah, I think they'll probably do the championship as part of maybe the Brooklyn live special, you know, because I think they want to run this in July or June or something.
July, yeah.
July. So if they run the tapings throughout that, and then they run the final live, it would match up pretty well with the Brooklyn show. And so, you know, it just kind of depends how much they want to tape and how many matches they want to have per show. But yeah, this should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And, I always love tournaments.
Yep.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me of, it doesn't remind me of Bola or anything. It kind of reminds me more of like the Super J.
Yeah.
So that gets me excited. Yeah. And if anyone's starting at a promotion anywhere, just do an all tournament promotion. Do it like early UFCs. That's my
dream.
Start a promotion where all you do is tournaments.
You show the tournament.
Yeah. UFC did it for like 4 years before they stopped. Do tournaments only. And then you'll make me happy and I won't give you $35, but I'll give you $10.
So. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's about it, because when we do our next show, you know, and that's in a few weeks here, because we're going to do one before, like we said, to kind of go over the people we want to talk about in the GWE project. And then we're going to do the aftermath show, which is going to be – that might be the most contentious show that either one of us has ever been a part of. So, yeah. but yeah, this is going to be fun. Like 2016 for the first time, and I would say good – I would say in a good 15 years, you know, since the invasion stuff, this is kind of the first time since then where you really have kind of no idea – what's going to happen. You really have no clue what the, you know, the future lays in store for all of us who are following, you know, not just wrestling in WWE, but like all over the place, because, you know, whatever they decide to do at the top is going to have repercussions all across, you know, the world basically. And if they decide to be more open and they, you know, like if somehow, some way, the Elite versus the New Day happens, or, you know, you get contracted wrestlers being loaned out to WWE for this cruiserweight tournament. Like, oh, I mean, it's like, I mean, seriously, everything's in play here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, apparently one of the things they've done is they basically tried to put it out there that people shouldn't sign exclusive contracts because of this cruiserweight tournament.
Right.
Of course, a few people did like Red Dragon and such, but I'm curious to see if, like, maybe it will be a determinant. Like, will someone be like, well, I could sign this exclusive contract with Ring of Honor, or I can do indie bookings, get exposure in this tournament, and either get into NXT, or the fact that I was in this tournament on the network, use that to get more money out of bookings on indies.
Right.
So it's curious.
Yeah, they have to figure that out, because one thing to keep in mind with all this is there's only a few people who can truly, like the Young Bucks are definitely one of them. I guess you could say Adam Cole to an extent, but there's really only a couple of people, the Briscoes or the other ones, but those are like the only guys where you can really like look at them and say, oh yeah, I don't need an exclusive contract. I can still make all the money I want without being tied down. So there is a risk involved, and it just depends on how many of those guys want to take the risk and see if it pays off. So
yeah, interesting times ahead. Yeah, well, we'll have to do a more general talk at some point and do it more than once a year, I think.
Right. Yeah, and you know, we like to have our kind of our themed shows, and like I said, the next 2 months are going to be the Greatest Wrestler Ever Poll, which has been a 2-year project, and I think, you know, dedicating those shows just to that are definitely going to be worthwhile. So I really look forward to that. But yeah, like, and we'll be after WrestleMania anyway, so there might be some stuff that's already hit the fan. So we'll be definitely on the lookout to see what happens, because things could get very interesting very quick here. In the next couple of months.
Yeah. We'll wait and see. Yeah. But this has been, yeah, we've got a nice length now. We've gone about 2 hours, so I think this has been a good show. But thanks everyone for listening. We'll return sometime in March. In the build up to WrestleMania to hear us with or without guests. Let us know what you want to hear. Do you want to hear me and Tim's list, or do you want just a roundtable discussion of certain candidates? And we'll do whatever you guys want. So let us know, and we'll be back then. Thank you, guys. Super Junior. Super show, 그댈 환상으로 이끌어줄 거라 나는 믿어요.